Good morning, everyone. Welcome.
Hello.
Hello. Welcome to Monday Motivation Meeting. How's it going? I'm going to turn the chat on so everyone can chat. Let us know. Boardroom, loner, lone wolf.
Is there a third category? Could you be anything other than being in the boardroom or being alone? Could you be on a bus listening to this by yourself? So you're surrounded by
Yes.
people, but you technically
Yes.
are by
In
yourself.
public.
Yeah, are you in public?
Like at the cafe or you're at the airport or something like that. Yeah, that's the three categories, bro. Yeah. So it's boardroom,
Oh, we got James Thomas, our first public. How
he's in
good.
public. Welcome, mate. Congratulations. You're the first public ever. They
How
get
about
special.
that? Who saw that coming? Not me.
No, it's
Not
fine. Oh,
me.
gee. Who, me? Hope you're doing well, team. Keen for today's session, Das. I went and saw Stephen Bartlett speak last night.
Nice. Was it really good? I would imagine it was really good.
Long. It started at 8 p.m. and finished at 11 p.m.
Boy can talk.
The boy can talk. But yeah, smart guy. Really, really smart guy. Interesting thing though, right? So he was like so fluent, had it all nailed, all that sort of stuff. For those that don't
Stephen
know,
Bartlett, but yeah, sorry, I was gonna say, for these that don't know, Stephen Bartlett is the podcast guy, Diary of a CEO, interviewed some of the, greatest minds really operating in the business world as we speak, and a brilliant mind himself. But anyway, go on. Sorry.
Interesting thing. It was a really, really peculiar learning moment, right? So he's obviously, this was the last leg of his Australian tour, polished. Like everything was super polished, had cool slides, all that sort of stuff, speaking like just really fluently the whole time. Now we were kind of in the middle on the ground floor of the Brisbane Exhibition Centre. And I just noticed sort of like halfway through, there's like a TV screen behind us, which was like a teleprompter. Like obviously someone was like scrolling up and down on his notes and trying to follow along where he was. So I'm looking at it a while. And I'm like, oh, interesting. So I could see what he's going to say before he actually says it, sort of thing. And
Interesting.
then I noticed a few other people around me look and see the teleprompter. And the immediate reaction from everyone was like, oh, he's just reading off a script. And I was like, that's a lesson in sales, man. Like before that, everyone's like, you're fine. This is sick. Like, wow, you're so confident. You're so polished in what you're saying. And then when everyone noticed, like, oh, you're just reading off a script, the enthusiasm went down.
Isn't that interesting?
And I was like, that's a lesson in sales, hey. Like, if they think that you're reading off a script,
Yes.
game over.
I was on the phone the other day with I gave $50 to a Surf Lifesaver charity thing. That you pay $50 and you enter to win a million-dollar home on the beach and you're in it forever and you whatever. I was just like, I'll just have it. And I get called by them all the time. And a lady called the other day and she went through a script, clearly reading off a script. And she said, Darcy, if you would like, I can put you in the drawer again. There are 1,000 tickets left. Oh, there are now 500 tickets left. Oh, there are now 200 tickets left. There are now only 100 tickets left. Darcy, would you like a ticket? I said, I'm all good. Thank you, though. Have a great
Yeah, no good. Ditch the script.
day.
Team, let's dive in. Keen for today's session.
Today's session is all about the power of scripts.
Exactly. No, today is actually all about the standing out,
Nice.
which is going to be important. We're noticing, Das, that more and more people are coming to us and very much chatting around the theme of how do we get over or how do we win this client who already has a preferred supplier, and how do I stand out from the crowd, and how do we get over that hurdle? So we've sort of
That's good.
dedicated a session around that, and a question that you guys have asked in the audience. But
Beautiful.
over to
Team,
you,
just
mate.
let us know in the chat team. For those of you that do look to break in to be the preferred supplier for those in your market, please let us know. And if you're running into that problem of they've been with this supplier for a while, it's going to be tough to break that relationship and actually get in. Please let us know in the chat if that's something you experience. Just put a little Y so we know that how many of you we're speaking directly to. That'd be good. So team, Monday mindset this week is to remember that people are buying who you are being just as much as what you're selling. So for those of you that have experienced this before, you'll know, oh, Wise flying in. Good. Bolle, Russell, good to have you guys on. Yep, great. Okay, cool. This is great. So, team, remember this. We've all had this experience. You may have heard Steve and I talk about this in the past. We've all had this experience where we have had something that we've wanted to buy. Like, we've been ex really excited to buy a new car, or we've been really excited to buy a new guitar, or we've been really excited to buy a new computer, or whatever it may be. And the big day comes to buy it, and the person that we're buying it from is a crap salesperson. Now, I'm talking about, your how they show up. So they rock up with their shirt half untucked and lunch splayed down their shirt from just an hour ago. They hardly look you in the eye. They couldn't be bothered asking a question, whatever it may be. That experience changes whether or not you actually want to end up buying the product or not, doesn't it? You can be so stoked on a product, but if the salesperson sucks, you're kind of like, oh, I want to have a better buying experience than this. You guys will notice I actually have a really clear webcam right now. It's because I went and got a new computer the other day, one of the new MacBook Pros, right? It's the webcam in this is so brilliant, guys. I actually threw away my actual fully dedicated, actual proper plug-in webcam. Like this one, these computers are brilliant, Steve. They're unreal. I'm just like typing on it over the weekend, just being like, wow, still works, right?
Wow.
Wow. So anyway, I go to JB Hi-Fi the other day. This guy sort of, when I rocked up to him, he was about 30 meters away from this woman who was serving behind the desk. And he's like having this joke with her for around about like 5 seconds. He's looking at her. He's like, yeah, I'll come over later on. Yeah, no, you start. No, yeah, good drinks on the weekend. Yeah, great. I'm standing there for like 5 seconds. He turns around. He's like, oh, g'day, mate. I said, g'day, mate. I'd like to buy a computer if I could, please. He goes, yep, no worries. Silence. Walks on over to the computers and just stands there. I'm like, yeah, well, sorry, a MacBook could be great. That's probably what I'm specifically after. He's like, yep, no worries. I said, I literally said this to him, Steve. I said the words. I was like, are you going to sell me on it, bro? Like, what's the deal? Like, which ones are good? What am I looking at? What's going on? He goes, yep, no worries. What are you after? I said, oh, I don't need to do much on it, mate. Like, the most thing I would do is I'll watch the NBA on a weekend, and I do a lot of typing on, and I do a lot of webinars like this. So that's all I really need it for. He's like, yep, no worries. Yeah, these are good. I said, okay, fair enough. Righto, just leave me to it. I'll read the difference on him. He's like, yep, sounds good, mate. You let me know when you need a hand. So anyway, I go through the details. He comes back. I said, yeah, mate. All right, I reckon I'll go with one of these ones. This one I've got. I'm literally speaking to you on right now. I said, I'll go with one of these ones. Just this is all I need. He goes, yep, no worries. Too easy. Just got the code on that one. 28784410. Yeah, all out of those, mate. None of those on stock. Oh, no worries. Anything in a different color? No worries, mate. Let me have a look. 266449 said, nah, them, mate. Nah. No worries, mate. Do you know where I can get another one? Yeah, Maroochydore. They sell them down at Maroochydore Plaza. Head down there. They'll take care of you. No worries, mate. See ya. I was out of there as quick as I could possibly go. I couldn't believe it. It was one of the worst sales experiences I've had in so long. But the guy was lovely. He was a lovely guy. Just couldn't sell. Just who he was being in the moment of selling turned me off ever wanting to go back there to buy anything. Right? I know where I'm going next time to get everything I want. I'm just going straight to Maroochydore. I'm not going back to this guy. He had one chance and now it represents the whole store. Isn't that interesting? So people are buying who you are being just as much as what you're selling, team. So high standards, high attention to detail of your buyer. And ultimately, who are you making it all about? Are you making it all about you and your comfort and what's easy to you? Or are you making it all about your buyer and how you can go the extra mile for them?
Yeah,
That's it.
so big. And I think the key with this team is your level of enthusiasm and your level of energy and your level of drive. I know the greatest buying experiences that I've had are with salespeople who have some energy about them, and it's transferable. Or if the best experiences you've had at a restaurant, the waiter or waitress has a bit of energy to them, a bit of charisma. They've got a bit of enthusiasm. There's something in them.
Yes.
Worst experiences like you had is there's just nothing going on in there.
Yes.
There's nothing there. The lights are off. Nobody's home. You know.
Yes. Yeah.
And the key with that, I think, team, is you can make a choice to become more enthusiastic, and you can make a choice to be more driven, and you can make a choice to be more energetic in what you're doing. And I think by dialing that up just a little bit, you can see big differences in the way that it actually translates. And you can tell, like, if you're just like, hey, how's it going? What are you after? And you're like an Eeyore sort of thing. Boom. Buying motivation goes down. So the key here, team, is the who you're being. I think one thing you can try on this week is just become more energetic and driven in what you're doing, and that will be transferable.
Classic question that goes with this, Steve. And team, if you're taking notes today, please make this the note you take. Question to ask is this is, would you buy from you today? If you would buy from you today, keep moving, doing what you're doing. If you wouldn't buy from you right now, as you're sitting, as you're paying attention, if you wouldn't buy from you, and if you were to see yourself in the mirror and go, nah, and keep moving, there's a level of standard that needs to be upped because people buy from people who have a higher energy level than them because they want to buy up to that energy level.
Yeah, people
So
need to
remember
stop.
that when you jump on the phones today. Would I buy from me right now? As I'm about to jump on this phone, would I buy from me?
That's awesome,
It's
man.
good. Yeah.
I was on a bit of an Instagram scroll over the weekend, and there was a guy there. It was like a deep and meaningful podcast. And he said, the number one question that changed my life is one day I woke up, I washed my face, I stared myself in the mirror, and I asked myself one question: would you follow you? And he's like, my response was, maybe. And he knew at that point that some things were deeply wrong.
Good one.
And I was like, that's cool.
Yeah, it's
Have a
good.
mirror moment today, team.
Yeah,
Ask yourself,
it's
would
really
you buy
good.
from you? And would you follow you? Big questions. All right. Speaking of questions. Question deep dive. Someone wrote this in at the end of last session. Appreciate it. Sort of flows on. More about relationships with the customer, Das, gaining the client's confidence quickly so that you're not just another sales rep standing out from the other suppliers. I'll take care of the last bit in our next slide, Das, standing up from other suppliers. But for those that don't know, Das used to run a Facebook community that was popping back in the day
Yeah.
called the Accelerated Trust Creation Tonal Persuasion Method for Sales.
Yeah.
And I want you to speak a little bit into that, Das, because you've done a lot of research and testing around. Really, if you're talking about confidence, you're talking about trust. They're
Yes.
one and of the same.
Yes.
You are confident in what you trust.
Yes.
Now, the key question there, Das, was accelerated trust creation. And I
Yes.
think this is what the question is kind of speaking to. I'll take care of the standing out bit,
Yeah,
but
nice.
how do you build trust rapidly? How do you gain that confidence rapidly?
Oh, please write this down. This is so cool. You build trust rapidly over time. You build trust rapidly over time. I'll explain what I mean. You will break trust if you believe that you deserve it immediately. You will gain trust if you believe that you don't deserve it right now, and that's okay. And you respect that about your buyer, but that you want the chance to build it over time anyway. So, trust, people talk about the speed of trust. And when people hear that, what they think is speed of trust. Oh, so I can get trust as quickly as possible. No, it means understand what the speed of trust actually can be and go along with that and respect that because it's nature. You cannot beat nature. And nature says trust can take time to develop. Okay, so be okay with it taking time to develop. So when you go in and you speak to a new customer, there's no big thing of like, okay, so when you meet the customer, ask them this whiz bang question, it'll daze their eyes. And then when they look back at you just throw the product in their face and they'll buy. Like that's the trick to it. That's the technique. Of course, everyone knows that's not it. That's not what sales actually is, right? Trust is, or good conversational selling means going in knowing, number one, who your ideal buyer is. Do you know about this ideal buyer? Have you researched them? Do you understand their needs? Can you presuppose some of the challenges they'd be having in their business? That's number one. Have you done your research? Have you earned the chance to even have that conversation with them? Okay. A lot of the questions that you're about to go ask them, probably the answer is freely available online, five or six different locations. Okay. So do your research first. That's earning the trust before you even get there. Once they know that you know them, trust points go up. So like, oh, okay, you've actually taken the time here. I can start to build a level of rapport and trust with you. Okay, so that's the first thing. Do your research. Second thing is only take what is available to you. I'll explain what I mean by this. In basketball, there's a term called taking what the defense will give you, meaning Basketball is a game where you're always playing pros and cons against each other, and you're always saying, well, we can't go that way, but if they're blocking the defense that way, that means there's got to be a hole somewhere else. We've got to go there, right? So no matter what, you're always giving up or sacrificing something to defend something else. That's war, that's basketball, that's all sports, that's business at times, okay? Taking what the defense gives you. So what that means is when your buyer is having a conversation with you, they're not going to give you a proposal at the end of the first meeting. So don't try and take it. Take what the defense will give you. What they'll give you is, yeah, I'll give you a coffee in 15 minutes of your time. Great, respect that. Make the most of that 15 minutes. And before you know it, that 15 minutes will extend into an hour and 15 minutes at that same meeting. But if you try and extend it to an hour and 15 minutes to begin, you'll lose even the 15 minutes to begin with. Appreciate and respect the speed of trust, play its game, and it will reward you back.
So good, man.
The reason that's hard, Steve, is because a lot of salespeople have leaders on their back going, hey, did you get that meeting? Hey, did you get a proposal at the end of that meeting?
Who's
Hey, did
that
you get a
deal?
request for it? Yeah, where's that deal at that? It's like, boss, I'm working it, I'm massaging it. Leave it to me. There are actually a lot of times sales leaders need to shut their mouths there, Steve. That's
100%.
absolutely the truth. This isn't a game of like salespeople are the people doing the thing and we the leaders, we know better. No, leaders, you don't know better. You don't. Otherwise, you wouldn't be on this webinar. You do know a lot of things more than your team, but there is always more that the sales leader can learn. And any sales leader sitting there going, nah, I'm above that, shouldn't be on this webinar. And they wouldn't be on this webinar, Steve. The best sales leaders understand that, right? Fair call. So sales leaders and sales teams need to get on the same journey of realizing what's the overall process that our buyer is going to go through to work with us. It's probably going to start small, then it's going to go big. At least we all know that. Let's respect that, play that really well. And over the long term, we'll win because trust is built rapidly over time.
So good, man. One of the best sales managers I ever had. He had a tidbit saying that I've taken on board, and you can apply this to pretty much any area of life. He used to always say, come to me and say, Steve, earn the right to ask the question.
Nice.
And you can think about that as like if you're going to propose to your partner, will you marry me? You have to earn the right to ask the question. If you want to get 15 minutes on the calendar with someone, you have to earn the right to ask the question. If you want to close a deal today and ask a closing question, you have to earn the right to ask the question. I think it's so key. I love what you're saying there, Das, because if you see those like LinkedIn spammy messages, they haven't earned the right to ask the question. They haven't earned the right to block 15 minutes or 30 minutes on my calendar. Like they're a cold spammy message. I don't even know who you are. So if you do play the long game and just start on a connection base, then you do earn the right to be like, hey, Das, it'd be awesome to actually, catch up sometime. It'd be good to learn a bit more about you.
That's good.
That's
Love
a
it.
big part. Earn the right to ask a question. Loving this. All right, Monday model team. This is something that Stephen Bartlett actually talked about last night, and I'm a big fan of this. I've thought along similar lines when it comes to pairing. He was sort of saying that the only way you can truly be unique is by finding two complementary skill sets or two complementary skill sets that are unique in and of themselves and combining them. The reason Darcy is really unique is he has studied psychology from a university level, which is often applied to the world of psychology, i.e., counseling through to sports science, or you tell me, Das. Normally the
Yeah,
psychology
therapy and
degrees are applied in all of that kind of health field, would you say?
Yeah, or applied to becoming a barista, which many psych people running around with a psychology degree.
Yeah. The reason Das is really unique and he has a unique perspective and people follow him is he's got two complementary skill sets, i.e., an incredible deep understanding of human behavior and psychology, but he's played it directly in the world of entrepreneurship, business, and sales. So they're complementary, but they're a unique pairing. I guarantee most people rolling around with a psychology degree haven't applied it directly to buyer and selling psychology. So that's unique. Makes him in the category of one. So the key here is if you want to stand out, you have to start standing out. And the only way you can do that is by understanding what are your two complementary skill sets that you can combine. Example could be you have the ability to challenge a buyer but you're also a Microsoft Excel wizard. And so now you can challenge the buyer, but you can also, on the fly, develop an ROI calculator that gives them unique numbers insights. All of a sudden, they see you as being different. Or it could be that you have the ability to host team discussions, but you also learned the skill of video editing. Or it's the ability to complete a full discovery process, but you've also had real on-the-tools experience. You've swung a hammer, or you've picked up a wrench, or whatever it may be. Or a big one is you have the ability to negotiate and close, but you also are starting to develop a skill set in automation and AI. You have to start thinking outside the box, team. If you're just following the same playbook as every other salesperson, which is, how do I get better at selling? Everyone's doing that. Everyone's reading sales books. Everyone's reading Never Split the Difference by Chris Voss. You know, everyone's doing all the same things as you. So you're never going to stand out from the pack. What makes you truly unique is you start bringing in different loves. I worked with a salesperson once, and this guy was an absolute gun at sports trivia. Just a freak at it. Could tell you what was the final in the 1997 World Cup. You know, like he just, because he had a photographic sort of memory, but it only seemed to work in sports.
How good.
And so he made that his go-to market strategy is he would always ask the people that he's doing the sales process, are you into sports? Like, do you follow a team or any sort of code? And no matter what they said, oh, actually, man, I'm into table tennis. He'd be like, oh, yeah. Do you see at the World Cup, such and such just did there? It was amazing when he was down 6-4 and blah, 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 blah. And the buyer's like, whoa, what, you into table tennis too? And he'd be like, yeah. I like it. I like all sports. And he stood out to them because he's like, wow, that's unique. Now, most people don't think that you can leverage sports trivia in a sales conversation, but you got to remember at the end of the day, sales is about connection. And so if you can find a way to connect with your buyer in a unique way, it's going to stand out. But here's the number one skill set I think everyone should be learning, team: automation and AI. I think these are the two areas that if you start learning how to use automation and you start learning how to use AI, this is a rare skill set that's starting to come together in the world of sales. Big things. So what you want to start thinking about is, what are your passions? What are your loves? What experience do you have? What's a skill set that you have outside of the world of sales that you could start bringing into the world of sales? And then start pairing them together and see what happens. It's the only way you become unique. You have to be different.
Love it, mate. That's good. That's going to get a lot of light bulbs.
Time saver dust, Zapier.
Yeah, totally. So, team, we are big Zapier fans in terms of what Zapier ultimately does is it's a what's called an open API that you can plug one of your pieces of your technology in your sales stack and connect it to another. They can talk to each other, right? So, typically in the past, if there were two particular pieces of your tech stack, either like your CRM, things like Vidyard or Loom or your Proposify or your PandaDoc or whatever it may be, if they weren't what's called natively integrated with each other, they could never talk to each other. So that results in a lot of double entry. Okay, the resolution to that is this platform called Zapier. Zapier essentially is it 4,000 platforms, Steve, across the
Yeah,
internet.
over
Most
over 4,000.
of the sales tech that we use is on Zapier. Would you agree, Steve? Like it's 4,000 plus, and they obviously know where their money's made because they've gone straight to all the business apps. So go check out Zapier and find out how can we use Zapier to talk to this, which can then talk to that, which can then talk to that. And through our work of using Zapier, Steve, what would you say we've probably found sales leaders could save anywhere up to about 10 hours a week if they really wanted to automate enough. No problem at all.
It's really powerful. And you want to start thinking in terms of triggers. So you can search for the apps that you use all the time and have a look at what triggers you can trigger on. Just go to YouTube and just like type in Zapier Basics 101. Start watching some YouTube. excuse me, I was running a session with the team yesterday down in Brisbane, and I was talking about the whole Excel thing. And I said, every single one of you can become an Excel wizard immediately. And they're like, what do you mean? It's like, well, I've learned to become a bit of an Excel wizard recently. You know what I do? I go to ChatGPT and I write a prompt. Write me a formula for this cell to look up this other cell and to give me this kind of outcome. Or write me a formula for passing all of the text and removing anything with a at Google, Gmail. You can just go to ChatGPT and it writes you the exact formula and you just paste it in and it's done. And I've been doing crazy sort of Excel pipeline reviews and stuff for clients. They're like, wow, you're a gun at this. I'm like, no, I'm not. ChatGPT's done all the hard work. I just know how to speak with it. You can even
Nice.
go to ChatGPT and say, write me the Zapier flow, or how would I connect this app to this app with Zapier doing this kind of thing? And it'll give you a
It'll just
full
give you the
rundown.
answer.
It'll just give you the answer, like click this, click that, put that in, click that, put that in. You don't actually need to be a wizard anymore. I think you can learn anything you want to learn with YouTube, ChatGPT. Key though is automation. The world is moving more and more to automation. So here's one to give you an idea, an example. I've got a Zapier automation running at the moment that anyone that books on our Calendly, it grabs the details of that meeting. It runs through ChatGPT. It writes me a first follow-up email, and then I send it to my Google Mail as a draft email. So then, if I need to do more outbounds after meetings, I just go to my drafts box in Mail, and it's already written me a somewhat personalized follow-up email from the meeting.
Brilliant, hey.
Change a couple of things, send. Change a couple of things, send. Change a couple of things, send. You don't need to think about anything. Like, it's crazy what you can do with Zapier, ChatGPT. Like, this is the world. This is how you start being different, for
Yeah,
sure.
this is cool. I love it, mate. Nice.
Love it. Last piece, DAS, preferred supplier playbook.
Yeah, totally, team. So we've had a number of conversations with teams that want to become the preferred supplier, especially when they're finding it hard to crack into preferred suppliers that have been there for a while. And we realized that we've actually been teaching this a lot to clients. So we took the most potent strategies that we have and we've put it into a personalized playbook for teams moving forward. So please let us know if you're in that situation where you are looking to crack into those and become the preferred supplier for a lot of the buyers in your market, then have a chat. We'll go exploring. Once you actually click that link and book in a calendar there to go exploring, we'll jump on a call together. We will understand where you're currently at in terms of the preferred suppliers where you are already succeeding. And we'll take what's already working and add to it. We have no interest in completely, do we, Steve, tearing down what you're currently doing and replacing it with this whole new strategy. There will be things you're currently doing that are working. We want to do more of those and then replace probably the 30 to 35% of what's not working with the strategies that currently are, that we're seeing in companies working across Australia, New Zealand, US, UK, Canada. To the tune of over about 2 point, I think it's like about $2.3 billion worth of fresh sales growth using these strategies, Steve. So going to be a ripper. Anything else you want to add to that, Steve?
No, just click if this is interesting to you, if you want to eat your competitor's lunch and build a strategy and a playbook and get the team on board training. This is a big part that I think is going to be a spot that people can leverage over the next 6 to 12 months, you know, particularly if you're
Yes.
facing like a headwinds economy. There's a whole market out there that are currently with another supplier. If you can start to edge in there and break down some doors and get some wins from that, huge way to start growing business today. It's not just
Yeah.
necessarily about fresh new business, it's about existing business with others and how do you win it?
Nice. Especially headed into headwinds. It's never been a more potent conversation, Steve. Do
100%.
you know something I realized, Steve, about learning real quick is this. If you're a sales leader working with a team, growing your team is the number one thing that is your responsibility because the more they grow, the more sales they're going to close. But here's the thing. If you're not growing, you're dying. Period. You can't be doing one or the other. Oh, sorry, you can't be doing both at the same time, but you also can't be doing neither of those. You're always only ever growing or dying, right? If you're not growing your team, therefore, unless your team wants to die, you know, metaphorically speaking, then someone else will. So if you're not growing your talent, They will gravitate towards, whether they're aware of it or not, it'll happen unconsciously. They will gravitate towards the companies that will grow them. They will. You will lose talent if you don't grow your team, period. The only thing after that is you look at it and go, oh, our team aren't, they don't care too much about growing and learning. Like they're rocking up, they're learning every day. They're fine. They don't need training. If that's the truth, you have the wrong team. So if you have a sales team that isn't interested in learning and growing, you have way bigger concerns on your hands than you can imagine. Because those three, that triangle of learning, so we always want to be growing. If we're not growing them, someone else will take them. And if no one else takes them, that's even more of a concern. Like there's work to do there. But the majority of teams, especially people on Monday motivation meeting, are the type that want to learn, want to grow, which is awesome. So this is why we love booking in these calls and doing these playbooks with companies, because the teams that jump into them are just hungry for more growth. They want to get
Recognizing.
better. It's awesome. We love it. Yeah,
Love
good
it.
stuff, team.
Hope that was
All
helpful,
right.
team.
Final
Let us
team,
know
final
anything.
thing, team. Sorry, Steve. Outbound Blitz waiting list is officially closed, team. It is shut. There are no more people. It's capped out. We cannot add any more. Thank you to everyone who jumped on the waiting list. We will be launching very shortly. We're just putting the final touches in place. I know we've been saying that for a little while, but we want to make it perfect for you before we do launch. But
Good.
thank you to everyone on the waiting
Really
list.
good.
We'll be in touch. There are many of you. So appreciate it and love your work.
Love it. Thank you, team. Hope that was helpful. Reach out anytime. Looking forward to jumping on some Zooms with you all and have a cracking week. Thanks, Sas.
Love your work. Cheers, Steve. Thanks, Steve.
Cheers. Bye.
Bye now.